Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. Hopefully you've had a good weekend. Hopefully you got a little bit of sleep last night. People shooting fireworks off until whatever time around your home. And if that was you, I'm going to pray for you today. So it's good. I've been banned from fireworks in my home. So a few years ago, I stopped by the little tent at M15 and 75. They got a big firework, and I always go like the July 5th or July 6th, so you can get the buy three, get one free deals. And so I went and bought some fireworks and decided I'd shoot them off in my front yard. And so we have a little kind of a rock wall in the front yard, and the first three packs that we lit off were fantastic, and they were great. Great video, great pictures. The last one didn't go so well. I have video. I won't share it with you this morning so it doesn't incriminate me. And so, but the firework box fell over while I was, and it was shot at my teenage son. He had it coming, but it was, the video is pretty traumatic, and we've been in counseling since. It was great. So my wife says, no fireworks. I'm like, that's, as a kid, and if you grew up in Michigan, you had these little boxes that sparkled. Now you can shoot something into the sky that they have at the Tigers game or at Disney. You're like, wow, this is crazy. The power we can shoot into the air. It's hopefully you had a great day yesterday with family, friends. I was invited to some friends. We were out on a lake last night. It was crazy, the amount of fireworks all around. You could see Lake Orion, the lake we were on, all the different places. And so lots of fun, lots of food, too much food and too much snacks. And but we always want to celebrate the country God has given us. We celebrate the freedom that we have. I love that video because we've been given a freedom that we're not worried about somebody coming to bust in the doors to arrest us for proclaiming the gospel. And so we're grateful for it. Is it a perfect nation? No. But we have been blessed beyond anything we can deserve. Many men and women have sacrificed so we can be here. God has blessed our nation, and we continue to pray for our leaders. We pray for them. We pray for discernment and wisdom for them, whether we agree with them or don't agree with them. We've been called to pray for them, and so we just seek to honor them as God has called us to honor them and pray for them. And so we pray for their wisdom and discernment, making decisions, leading this nation, and hopefully as we as a country will seek to honor the Lord and make the Lord the leader of our ultimate true nation. And so that is the goal of who we are. So we are in Psalm 121 this morning. Psalm 121, if you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, always encourage you to do that. Whether that's on a phone, that's cool too. And so don't feel like, okay, I don't have a paperback Bible today. That's okay. Our app, the River Church app, has the Bible in it, the Bible app. There's plenty of other ways you can do that, or just simply Google Psalm 121. That is cool. I'll be reading in the English Standard Version, or ESV. And so we will look through that this morning, 8 verses, to continue in our Psalms series. Just want to reiterate what Pastor Josh said. We're super excited for the fair next week. If you've not been out to the fair for our Sunday gathering, it is truly an incredible, incredible time. I want to personally invite you out there. It's a great day. It's free parking, free ride. I end up costing me more money. I probably use the same way. One free ride doesn't work for your five-year-old. It doesn't work for my five-year-old either. And so it costs me some money, but that's okay. But all right, let's look at Psalm 121, verse 1. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who makes, who has, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray and we'll look at that passage this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for the country you've placed us in, God. We just, again, pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray for senators and congressmen and women. God, we pray for the Supreme Court. God, we pray for this wisdom and discernment for our leaders, and that you ultimately will be just super real in their life, that first and foremost, if they don't know you as their Savior, God, that they will see the gospel explode in their life and they will confess of their sins and believe in their heart that you came, you died on a cross and rose again. God, that they will receive the gospel. God, we pray for that. But God, as we open Psalm 121 this morning, God, we are so grateful for your protection, your hand of protection on our life. We're so grateful for your promise you've given to us. God, all the promises in the Bible, the fear nots, that we can trust you and we can rely on you. God, may we truly, truly rely on them. Not on our own understanding, not on our own strength, not on our own abilities, our own protections, but God, on you. We solely rely on you. God, we praise you, we love you, we honor you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I don't know if you have been on road trips. I like road trips. My family has a tradition when we go on a long road trip, we play the license plate game. And so if you play the license plate game, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's we used to play boys versus girls. Boys are undefeated. Okay, I know you needed to know that information. But if you see a license plate, you get to call it out. It does help when I'm driving so I can swerve as much as I can so she can't see and I can. But we have a board that we keep track of who gets and finds a certain license plate from a certain state. And so lots of fun with that. But not about the road trip game, but maybe in your family you have someone that is the person in control of the radio on your road trip, or a phone to play a great playlist that you've created. I am the most random DJ you've probably ever met in your life, okay? And so I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, so I enjoy myself some 90s, early 2000s hip-hop, and so don't throw anything at me this morning, while also enjoying a little The Climb from Miley Cyrus. And so mixing some country and some, you're like, man, this is, okay, don't make fun of me this morning, all right? And so my playlists are super random. And so I got friends that are like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, well, don't worry about it. And so it's my enjoyment while mixing in Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And so it's just, it's super, super random. But what I do love is I love like 90s love ballads as well. So a little Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Michael Bolton, I don't know if you've listened to them. And so I terrorize my kids with this playlist, okay? Now they have AirPods and they're checked out. My wife is reading and probably with AirPods in. And I'm the one singing these songs while driving down the road, okay? And so that's a little look at my road trip playlist. Maybe you have one, maybe you've not made one. And I can give you some suggestions later today if you'd like them, okay? You can share a playlist. This morning's psalm, I joke about that, but was serious about all the songs, it's a road trip song. It's found, as we look at Psalm 121, in a 15-chapter song playlist. It's called, it's categorized in the Songs of the Ascent. And so, in the Songs of Ascent, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. This section of Psalms is are songs that were sung by Israelites or the Jews as they are ascending or they are traveling to Jerusalem. So at this time, they were to travel to Jerusalem usually three times a year. They would travel to make a sacrifice. They would travel for certain festivals. And so they would sing these songs, categorized or chronicled in Psalm 120 through 134. And so they would list them and they would sing them out as they are traveling up to Jerusalem, which is an interesting phrase. That's why Song of Ascent, they're traveling up. They still in Jerusalem to this day travel up to Jerusalem. It's always said that because Jerusalem is it's kind of built and a little plateau or mountain range. And so there's hills all around Jerusalem. And then there's a valley, it's a Kidron Valley that surrounds the city. And then they come up to Jerusalem. So that's still there today. But these families, not just husbands and wives, but kids and all the different relatives would travel to Jerusalem. And so they would sing songs. They would make the time pass go by, and they would sing songs ultimately of worship and anticipation of where they were going. So this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to look at Psalm 121, a song of ascent. The author of Psalm 121 is not identified in this passage, but it is ultimately, as I've said this before, it is the Lord, all scriptures God-breathed and God-inspired, God-written, so we know that as true. But in the beginning verses 1 and 2, the author begins with, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who hath, I learned this in King James as a kid, who made heaven and earth." The word help here is defined and includes protection, guidance, and blessing. And so you can place yourselves in the shoes of the ones traveling up to Jerusalem. And I would love to give you some visuals of this. And so you're going to have to imagine if you don't understand what it looks like. But they're on the road. They're traveling in these roads, very different than an I-75. They're traveling on these dirt pathways. And they're heading towards Jerusalem. So they have family and friends. And they're looking around and seeing these mountains and they're seeing these hills. And so as the author writes, he says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who's made heaven and earth." This help, my protection, my guidance, my blessing. As the author writes this song, he's looking around to these hills. He's on this road, realizing this road, this journey, this travel will be difficult. There will be trials and tribulations. There'll be robbers throughout the road. I was talking to someone yesterday who was preaching, and they described it's a calendar event. You know when the Jews are going to be traveling this road, and so you're going to schedule, okay, hey, we can rob them on this day. I'll know they'll be here, and I know we can hold them up, and I know we can take them. And so as they're traveling on the road, they're writing, our protection comes from the Lord, not these hills. See, the mountains that surround them may seem like an earthly protection, an earthly alliance, but the realization that true deliverance, true protection comes from the creator of those mountains. And that creator is God. I thought as I sat and prepped this message, I asked myself the question this, and I think it'll resonate even in your heart this morning. Do your current surroundings create comfort or anxiety when it comes to protection? Some of you are like, you know what? When I enter into my home, it is my fortress. I am protected. Or maybe your current surroundings in a relationship or a friendship or a job, you feel like, okay, I am unsafe, and they create anxieties. And so your eyes begin to go, what is around me? And that's what the author of Psalm 121 is describing. As I lift up my eyes, I look at my surroundings. And I see these hills, and I see these mountains, and I am comforted by them. Or I've created an anxiety because I know there are trials and tribulations in this journey. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, he emphasized that while it is good to look at the hills, it is greater to look at them as the one who created them. As I look to them, I see the Creator. And I see the one that placed the stars, that created the sun and the moon. I see the one that painted the sky, and I look and see the handiwork of God as I gaze at the amazing work of God, and I see, wow, God, you are all powerful. You are all sovereign, God, and I praise and worship you. I remember as a kid, growing up in Michigan, I've used this illustration before, and it always kind of resonates. If you've grown up in Michigan, the greatest mountain we have in our area is Mount Holly, okay? So you're like, man, that's just a mountain, baby. But you venture out California and you venture out west, you see these ginormous Rockies, and you go, it's amazing. It's a Midwest kid, you're like, this is amazing. Wow, God, you created these things. I see your power and I see your authority. I see your handiwork, God. And I'm amazed by it, but yet my help doesn't come from the things that are around me. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Man, this is a true doctrinal, theological base understanding as we put our reliance, our trust, our protection, our guidance, our blessings solely on the hands of God. 2 Thessalonians verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 41 says, fear not. For I am with you, you be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. I read this week, it's powerful. Psalm 121 was written to instill confidence in God's people as they took the journey up Mount Zion to the hill in Jerusalem. They were looking up. It was written to encourage them that they were not alone, that help was available, that their trust is in the Lord was not in vain. And this beautiful little psalm has been preserved for us because God loves us. He understands what we face, and he wants us to be confident that he will be an able and faithful helper. Thinking through that, we begin to now realize, what does my help come from? You may be sitting here today joining us online thinking, you know what, my help comes from the circumstances around me, or my help comes from my own protection. I'll say this to you unequivocally, your help only can come from the Lord. Your protection can only come from God. A few years ago, I got asked to do a blessing of the bikes out in Heartland. And so they said, hey, would you come out and pray, and would you give a quick little devotion? I said, absolutely, would love to do that. And so it was on a Sunday afternoon. I got done preaching, and I headed out to Heartland. And so I got there, went around, shook hands, prayed with people. It was a good time. Left and went to lunch, and then later that week, I had a few people come up to me and say, Caleb, is everything okay? I'm like, it's a weird, like, yeah, well, why would it not be okay? They said, well, when you went to the blessing of the bike, we noticed you brought a security guard. We didn't know if you had received some death threats or something. I was like, what are you talking about? Again, I just didn't know. I said, so I had to think about what happened. So I began to go, oh, yes, I brought somebody with me. I forgot. We were going to go to Black Rock and grab lunch afterwards. And then I realized who it was with. And so he's preaching at Walled Lake, so I can really harass him this morning. And so I brought my friend Lee Hotchkiss. He is 5'5". I'm not bringing Lee as my protection. So, all right. Like my friend Jimmy's sitting here. He's like 6'4" and he's a house. I'm like, hey, Jimmy, would you come be my protection if I need a protection? It was hilarious. I'm like, what are we talking? We just wanted to get Black Rock after the blessing of the bikes. We were right there. And so I laugh at this, and so I harass him all the time. And he's like, of course, they saw me as your protector. I said, absolutely not. And so I harass him about that this week. I laugh at that because we think we can create our own protection. We think with our abilities, our own strength, our own might, our own ammunition, if you will, we can create a protection. Ultimately, we can find our strength and our hope only in the things of God. God, I ask for your hand of protection in my life. And that truly is our source of protection. Verses 3-6, we begin to see the application of what that true protection looks like. That protection, that blessings, that providing of who God is. He says in verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He will hold you steady. He will support you. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. In this stretch of passages, we begin to see the application, some details of what God has described as our protection. He's an ever attentive watchman. God does not sleep. His people can rest secure knowing he is not a distant sleeping God. I know at times you may feel that. You're like, God, are you paying attention? God, are you there? Do you see the circumstances in my life? Do you see all that's happening? But in this passage, we pray or we sing out the very promises of God. God, you are ever attentive to the details, the small details of my life. That's what 1 Peter describes as casting all your cares. He wants to know the big things and the small things. He wants to know the details as we scribe and pray out. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We can cling to that very simple promise. God, you are paying attention to all that is going on in my life. And that promise rings true. God is depicted here with an emphasis that God is intensely watching over our lives. We see a couple passages where we see his shade from the sun, a protective covering from the heat of the day and the cold of night. He's protection while comfort. And God is not asleep. What's interesting about this passage in Psalm 121 is pagan gods at this time were described as giving times of sleep. Oh, this God is asleep. You can think of Elijah in the Old Testament mocking the gods of Baal, where he says, are they asleep or are they even in the bathroom? He's describing them of that. He's mocking them. But the writer of Psalm 121 is describing God as always attentive, never asleep, paying constant attention. It's a clear distinction of the power and the authority, yet the care and provision of who God is. There's a word used here in this passage. It's used 6 times. It keeps, watches, preserves. It's all the same word. And this repetition describes God as an ultimate keeper. describes God as personal and highly attentive, a guardian for our lives, never asleep at the wheel, never asleep at the wall. He's watching constantly, caring for us. It echoes to the words of the prophet Isaiah yet again, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. They will not destroy me. On this earth, my body may fade away, but for eternity, I am forever sealed by the great protector of God. He's my shield. He's my defender. A passage just resonates. Hopefully that resonates in your soul this morning. Because we see the declarative statement of, as I look to the hills, I declare that God is my protection. God is my provider. I see the application of, he is my protection from the sun. He's the warmth in the cold. He's attentive, constantly caring for us. But then the last two verses of the passage, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In the Song of Ascent, this is a song of blessing right here, where they are praying as we recognize who God is. We recognize the power and authority, practically who God is, and then we pray for the very providence of God. We pray for your protection. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your blessings, God. That's what's happening in these last two verses. And this promise is prayed and proclaimed. Hebrews chapter 13, so we can say confidently that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. God is the ultimate authority. I read this. This is good. All believers of every nation can proclaim, my help comes from the Lord. No matter what trouble we face in this dark world, God is with us, shining his light into the darkness, providing everything we need for life and godliness. Whatever setbacks, hardships, or evil we encounter, our faithful God will transform these challenges to contribute toward our good. All of our days, he is our helper and the God who sustains our life. What a great clarifying, proclaiming statement for us as we look around and we see the hills. My help comes from God. God, you care what I'm going through, and I praise you and I ask for your hand in my life. The simple truth, yet it will transform how we live, how we interact, how and what we trust. You see, we can trust our own sustainability. We can trust our own strength. We can trust our own eyes. We can trust our own safety creation. We can trust all these different things in our life. But God is saying, no, solely trust and rely on me. What a great truth. What a transformative truth. As we seek to ultimately trust in him as God, our friend, our ally, our helper, our protector, always there for us. Through the Psalm series, we've been walking through this book, and some of you have gotten it, it's called Praying the Psalms. It's not a book that we created. Actually, I met the author last year at a prayer conference up north and said, hey, we'd like to use your book. And so they printed our logo on it, and It's great. It's really some daily meditation. It's just a one-page thing to really meditate on Psalms. But I want to read you a portion of today's 121. I thought it was really good. He says, in times of need, the direction of our eyes, gaze often determines what we deem to be the source of our help and security. While not explicit, the need of the author of this Song of Ascent is strongly implied by the opening declaration of where true help is found. One who made the heavens and the earth. Surely the one who made all things is sufficient to help us in our time of need. Yet to call upon the Lord as our helper also implies the sweet and mysterious convergence of divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Many have interpreted the Psalms of Ascent to be the set list of songs sung as worshipers made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. If so, the psalm could also be applied to Christians who likewise are making their pilgrimage toward the new Jerusalem that one day be our forever home with God. In both instances, there is ample need not only for help along the way, but also for protection. I love that write-up because we can read, okay, yeah, it's a song of ascent. It's written for these Jews that would travel to Jerusalem. No, as we travel in this world, I know I'm not saying anything that will be mind-blowing. We need protection. We need the power. We need the authority. We need the very blessings of God. As you drive to work this week, I'll say this pretty declarative. You need the very hand of God in your job. As you are married, guess what? You need the hand of God in your marriage. As you raise children, you want the very blessings of God as in raising them and grandkids and dealing with all facets of our lives. We want this God that is paying attention to all the things that are happening in our life, not asleep at the wheel or not distant. No, the thoughts and intents, the ups and the downs of our life, that's the relationship God is seeking in our lives. Yet in our worship, we almost view God as some distance deity, like, okay, God, I'll come to you when I need help. No, the beautiful things that Christ did for us as he tore the veil, we can approach the throne of God boldly, bringing all the things in our life. And that relationship that God has invited us to is beautiful. It's intimate. It's raw. It's real. There's no fake. There's no facade that I've got to put up. No, God has invited me to speak to him as Jesus, as our intercessor. That's the beautiful thing that the God of all the universe that created all things desires this intimate relationship with you and I. I have a hard time even saying that, honestly, because my brain doesn't truly grasp why. My brain's like God, oh, okay. But as the ones that would sing this song of ascent, they understood, they grasped the magnitude of who God is as they looked to the hills. But not only the magnitude, but the personal relationship with God as our protector, our provider, our blesser. The sad reality is, I think for many of us, we don't truly grasp that. We can say it, we can preach it, we can read it, but we don't live it. It doesn't transform how we worship. It doesn't transform how we read scriptures. It doesn't transform how we live life or how we worship God. The truth of the matter is, it should transform everything in our lives because God desires that relationship with us. And that's the beauty of the relationship he's given us. In John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, we see what this truly looks like. In John chapter 17, it's categorized as the high priestly prayer. See, what's happening here? Well, Jesus has broken the bread, passed the cup. They've taken communion with Christ, which we just got to do, which was really cool as they did that multiple thousands of years ago. Now we get to do that now in true remembrance of who Christ is, proclaiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So Jesus has done this. He's washed the feet of his disciples. Judas has left. So Jesus prays a prayer. I love John 17. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entirety of the Bible, because I think it categorizes and communicates exactly what I was trying to communicate with you this morning. And the best part about it, it's the words of Jesus, not the words of Caleb. But what we find in John 17 echoes the words of Psalm 121. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. So I like the way it communicates. I'm not going to read the entirety of it. I'm just going to read 15 verses. But I just encourage you to read that later on this week. If you find a highlighter and find a pen, highlight some of these things. They're powerful. John 17, verse 6 says, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. This is Jesus talking to God. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know what everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent for me. Before I jump into verse 9, think about this. Jesus is praying this over his disciples. They've sat there, they had their feet washed, they've been given the bread, they've been given the cup. Now they're sitting there before they're heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be arrested, be beaten, and then crucified just hours later. This is like one of the last acts before Christ would head to the cross. And he's praying this for his disciples. Let's keep going, verse 9. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you. You have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world, that they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be unified just as we are. See, Jesus is praying for protection. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that they are not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. He's describing Judas there. Verse 13, now I come to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on. Like, God is praying for that protection. He's praying for them. But it gets crazier. It does. It gets better. Verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the church. I'll make it even more personal. He's talking about you. If you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you've repented of your sins, you believe that Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again, you are a child of God. You've been transformed. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Jesus is praying for you right here in John 17. He's praying for your protection. Just as I said earlier, not truly grasping or understanding, mind-blowing the idea that God, the creator of all universe, wants me to pray to him and talk to him intimately. Jesus praying for us in this moment is mind-blowing. But verse 21, he doesn't stop. I pray that they will all be one, just as you are and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. May they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I just get chills reading that, thinking of Christ praying that for believers. He's praying that for you. He's praying that for me. He's praying that over your marriage. He's praying that over this church. He's praying that over your kids. He's praying that is incredible. So as the psalmist in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. May that be your prayer. May that be your identity. May your kids see that, hear that. May your grandkids, may the kids of this church hear the adults praising God and saying our help comes from the Lord. We can't do this on our own. May there be our heartbeat, may our drumbeat, may it be our proclamation. God, our help comes from you and we rely solely on you. Can I pray for you this morning? God, we love you. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. God, as we read Psalm 121, we echo those exact same words. God, we know our help comes from you. God, we ask that you bless us. We ask that you protect us. We ask that you guide us. But God, you promised it already. And we're so grateful for it. God, thank you that we're able to see your comforting hand and you desire that relationship with us. God, it's mind-blowing. God, this morning, if there's someone sitting in this room that does not know you as their Savior, God, may they come to that confession moment. May your Holy Spirit draw near to them right in this moment. You move them. That they realize that they're a sinner lost. They confess and believe and repent from their sins. Make you the Lord of their life, God. God, we declare this morning, our soul help comes from you. You will sustain, you will guide, you will protect, you will lead us, God. We're grateful for that. We love you, we honor you, we worship you this morning. We're so grateful for your love and your care in our lives. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.